Amen.
Will be judged. And this week we're going to find out what that judgment entails. So stick around, open up Jude 5 through 8. Or I'm sorry, 5 through 7. Those are the verses Alex will be covering. But in the meantime, do you have a question for them?
Yeah. What is your guys' favorite subject in school? No, this is, I don't know why I asked that. That is the so worst intro question ever.
They're like, we're trying to take our mind off school right now.
Thanks, Alex. Well, you're welcome. What's your favorite subject? Mine is anything but math.
I don't know what mine was, but I was good at math. I wouldn't say it's my favorite.
That was a bonus thing that I got when I married you, that you're good at math. Someone says biology.
That's
someone
cool.
Else said Seth said math. Math is so hard, Seth. I don't get you. I don't get it.
It's a different part of the
history.
Brain.
This is kind of like history.
Hannah
class.
Said English. I would say English is probably my favorite too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, while you guys talk about that, let's read the verses and then we'll get into it. Real quick, just want to say thank you to all of our donors who make this possible for us every week. Mm-hmm. You guys are the best. With that said, let's get into it.
Yes. Okay. Jude 5. Now I want to remind you, although you were once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire.
Amen. All right. Well, let's look at this first verse. It says, now I want to remind you. Now, this is important because if you want to know what God is going to do next, you need to remember what he's already done. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Jude is saying, I want to remind you something, because last week we talked about how these guys are going to get punished, but I didn't explain to you how they're going to get punished. In order to understand the severity of false teaching and how serious God takes it, we got to look at their punishment. Because although they are very privileged, their punishment was going to be horrible. They're privileged. They have money. They have influence. You know, there's this account on Instagram called Preachers and Sneakers. I'm not saying any of those guys are false prophets. I'm not saying that they're not false prophets. I'm just saying, look at their lifestyle. It's lavish. It's privileged. And he's saying, even though these guys are privileged, their punishment is severe. That's what we're going to talk about today. So the first verse, you know, I love, this is how you strengthen your faith in 5 seconds. Remember, Jude is telling us in this verse, remember how God brought you out of Egypt. Remember, it was, you know, God that told Noah the plans to the ark. It was God who, you know, moved all those different times by the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. That was God. And he's telling the Israelites, he's telling us, he's telling all the Messianic Jews in this verse, remember what God has already done. So many times in our life, we want God to move. We want to know what's next. But in order for us to know what's next, we have to look and see how God has worked in our life in the past. The Bible says, you know, I am the Lord, I changeth not. He doesn't change. I know he does new things and he tells us, I'm about to do a new thing. He says that several times, but the way that he works in the world is still through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. It's still by his word of God. He speaks things into existence. The word of God is Jesus. Look back on what he's already done and you'll know what he's going to do next. We've done this in our own life. We're like, you know, God, we don't know how you're going to provide. We don't know how you're going to provide housing, how you're going to get us through this pregnancy. We don't know how we're going to have our hearts heal after being heartbroken, but he's always done it. And so now, how foolish would it be for me to keep going and not look back on those times where he's already helped me?
Mm-hmm. I always like remember in those times too, like, he's the one that's faithful, not me.
Right.
And so he's faithful to keep his promise. He's faithful to do it again.
Amen.
In our lives.
Yeah. Amen. I love it. Mm-hmm. That's so good, because we are like the Israelites. You know, God tells them several times in the Old Testament, or more than several times, remember, remember, remember. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them just didn't get it, because we mm-hmm. see here in verse 5 that Jesus destroyed them. Mm-hmm. Notice it says Jesus, because Jesus' name was not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. Yet Jesus is everywhere in the Old Testament. Where is Jesus in the Old Testament? Everywhere. It was Jesus who banished Cain. It was Jesus who wrote out the plans for the ark. It was Jesus who rescued the people of Israel through the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea. That was all Jesus. Every time you see a group of people being saved in the Old Testament, it's Jesus. Every time you see a group of people being judged in the Old Testament, it's Jesus. We don't like to think of Jesus as judge and savior, but he is. In this verse, it shows us he is both things. Mm. We were just at the park, this morning, and this young lady was there with her daughter, and she was talking to me about how she used to work at a high school like years and years and years and years ago. And there was like this poetry jam thing that they had. And she says the only poetry thing that she remembered, only poem, a poetry thing is called a poem. The only poem she remembered was called Jesus. What if Jesus was a stoner?
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was like, what? Because she knew we did church stuff. So she like thought of her only Jesus story. Mm. And she told me like the whole thing was about what if Jesus is just in heaven getting stoned and doesn't even care about us?
Whoa.
And she told me she loved that because she loves to live in the now. She doesn't want to think about Jesus coming back or if he even cares about us. She just wants to say, you know what? Jesus was a human. I'm a human. Let's just live my life. That's what she took from that poem. Mm. And I was like, crazy you say that, because that's exactly what I'm talking about today. I didn't get into it. But the point is, we like to think of Jesus as savior. He came here. He saved us from our sins. We're forgiven now. Now we can do whatever we want. That was the message of these false teachers. That's what they wanted these people to live like. But in this verse, Jude is reminding us that Jesus is not only a savior, he's also a judge. Mm. So he destroyed the people of Israel that he saved from Egypt. He destroyed them before they got into the promised land. Another word for the promised land in the Old Testament is rest. And he said to these people, they shall not enter my rest.
Wow.
So this is the crazy thing. Now, don't get me wrong. You cannot lose your salvation. You know, I know the people of Israel being saved from Egypt, that's a picture of our salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. But this verse, it looks like you kind of can, because like they were saved from Egypt, but then they were destroyed. Now, what's going on here? The parallel is found in a parable that Jesus teaches in the Gospels, and it's the parable of the four soils. Right? There's a good soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, and then there is the hard soil. Now, but without getting into what those soils mean, the only one I want you to think of right now is the thorny soil. If you know the story, what happens to the thorny soil is the farmer throws a seed on the thorny soil and it sprouts up, looks like it's going to be a healthy plant, and it gets choked out by the desires of the world, the desires around it. Hmm. That's what happened to these people who were saved from Egypt on their way to the promised land. They got choked out by their own desires. And that's what's happening to these false teachers. They're not healthy, growing, good soil plants. They're being choked out by the desires that they have within themselves. The worst destruction that God can give you is to leave you to yourself. We don't need help destroying ourselves.
So true.
If we wanted to fall into destruction, all God had to do would be not help us. Stop giving us second chances. If that's what he did, we would fall into our own destruction. Do you want to know what hell is going to be like? Some people say that hell has fire. Let's say it doesn't, for the sake of this example. A lust problem for 80 years is not that big of a problem. But a lust problem for 1,000 years is a very big problem. A lust problem for 10,000 years is a very big problem. A lust problem for 1,000,000 years is a very, very, very horrible way to live. Whatever your sin is, fill in the blank. Greed, lust, hate, anger. Imagine living with anger and anxiety, which is also a sin, for 1 million years. Imagine what type of creature you would form into. You see what I'm saying? Let's just take fire out of hell and say there is no fire, which I believe there is, because a lot of times Jesus talks about fire. It's very literal. Let's just say there's none. The main thing is, if we are left to our sin, we are going to destroy ourselves, and our destruction is going to be great. And so in this verse, when Jesus says they were headed to – wrong verse. Sorry. Put this on the screen. They were headed to – I'll let you do it because I'm bad at clicking.
That's okay.
If you're listening to the podcast, Lokalani is clicking the verses on our screen, and I'm not very good at it. But they were headed out of Egypt, and they're headed to the promised land, and they were destroyed. Why? Because they did not believe. The word believe means to trust. The reason Jude is bringing this up is because these false prophets are going to get destroyed because they don't believe. They don't trust in God. They don't trust in Jesus as their savior, Jesus as their judge. They don't trust in that. They trust in themselves. They trust in their own authority. The people who left Egypt, they were trusting in their own authority, and they thought, I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. I know what I need to do in order to find, you know, the things that I need to trust in. So they trusted in other gods. They trusted in women. They trusted in drinking. They trusted in everything else. They trusted in getting money instead of trusting in Jesus. They trusted their own authority. And the false teachers do that very same thing. And because of that, they got destroyed. Let's keep going. Jude 6. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept for eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of that great day. Now, this is really, really, really heavy. Okay. So one day some angels had sex with human women. Genesis chapter 6, they had kids that were called Nephilim. They were giants. If you read the book of Numbers, there's this guy named King Og. He's one of the last descendants of the Nephilim. In Deuteronomy, it says that his casket was like 13 feet long. His casket, like where his dead body was. Another famous Nephilim descendant that we believe was part of the Nephilim descendants was Goliath, 9 feet tall, huge. Now, First Enoch is extra biblical type of literature, or it's by extra biblical, I mean, it's not in Enoch is not in the canon of scripture, but it's a part of very famous Jewish literature. In fact, Jude, Jesus's half brother, would have grown up reading these books like Enoch, like Maccabees, like all the stuff that's in the Apocrypha. He would have read those things. Truth is, Jude is a big nerd, big Bible, big God nerd. He knows a lot about the Bible and a lot about what Judaism is and Jewish culture, Christianity. He knows everything. He knows so much. And he brings up this story later on in the book of Jude that we're not going to talk about today. But when he talks about the angels who left their proper dwelling in the book of Enoch, it's expounded upon that when Genesis 6, 1 through 4 talks about these Nephilim and these angels that had sex with women, it's expounded upon in a creative retelling of the story. And it says that that some of these Nephilim were like a mile tall. Now, this, it's not in the canon, so we can't take it as inspired scripture, but Enoch walked with God. Enoch didn't even die. He just walked with God into heaven. One of the only guys to do that. And so this guy, Enoch, he was creative. He was awesome. He was cool. And, but he's told this story and said these people were, some of these guys were a mile long, a mile tall. Imagine seeing a person as tall as a mile. That is terrifying. And they were worshiped. They started these little cities and these cults that were very violent and evil, and they are the one of the major reasons why God flooded the earth. Crazy stuff in the Old Testament. Now, these angels, they decided that they didn't want to live under the authority of Jesus. They wanted it to use their authority to do whatever they want, and they did, and they used it and took advantage of human women and then other humans. Jesus says, I made a place, special place of eternal punishment and judgment, locked up in chains just for those guys, just for those angels. By the way, in the Bible, all we see is male angels. We don't see any other like female angels. All we see is male angels, and they're locked away in these chains waiting for judgment. What is Jesus going to do when he comes back? He's going to judge the world. And at some point, he's going to unlock the chains of those demon angels that he's locked away for eternity. And he is going to do something real bad to them. I don't know what it is, but he's going to do it. Heavy, heavy mm-hmm. stuff we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And so these false teachers, they're just like these angels. God has given them some type of gift, some type of authority. He's allowed them to have it, and they're abusing it. And they don't want that authority to be submitted under Jesus. Me as a preacher, I have to, every time I get up and preach, every day I wake up, I have to remind myself that I'm submitted under the authority of Christ. Once I get outside of that and I start doing stuff where I'm coming out with my own revelations and my own dreams and my own visions, once you start hearing that, guys, unsubscribe, unfollow, because it's not biblical.
Yeah.
Everything I need to know about God and everything I need to know about myself is in the Bible. I don't need to look elsewhere. Now, it's cool to read some of these extra biblical content, like Enoch. It's cool to read that stuff, you know, because it's creative and, you know, some of it can totally be helpful, but it's not inspired. Just like I love to read, like, Tim Keller is one of my favorite pastors. He's not an inspired writer, but his stuff is helpful. And so understand, Jude's reminding us judgment is coming for these false teachers. All right. If you're listening to the podcast, there's someone that's like spamming inappropriate stuff inside the YouTube chat. And so Darianne, Mill, Annette, all of our different moderators, if you guys can just get that person and, I don't know, silence them. But podcast people, this is what we deal with. This is our persecution in the middle of church. Mm. I love it. Real quick, before we go on to verse 7, this study has been so good, but we just want to say thank you to everybody who's donated to Amen Church Live. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, we want to just take a moment to say thank you for donating, or if you have donated, we were actually able to get more equipment this week to make our lives better technologically, and so thank you so much. If you'd like to donate and support our ministry, you can visit amenchurch.live or click the link in our bio. Sorry, I still have mom brain, guys. I'm really having a tough time getting used to this life with four. But we're getting there. We're getting there. Each day is a step closer, and it's still very joyful and amazing.
All right, let's get to verse 7 real
quick. Okay, here he is.
Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality. So notice he's linking back to the angels who had sex with women. It was sexual immorality because divine nature and human nature taken under its own authority should not mix that way. Now we know divine nature and human nature mixed in one person. That was Jesus. He was 100% human, 100% man. God had the authority to do that. And it wasn't for sinful reasons. It was for the salvation of mankind. Now, when these angels did it, they did it out of rebellion to her. They did it for complete just saying, God, we hate you. We don't want to live under you. And the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude is saying they did the same exact thing. They pursued unnatural desire, served as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. And you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with, like, you know, divine nature and human nature mixing? Like, didn't God do that? Didn't God have relations with Mary? No. God just simply, like, immaculately put Jesus inside of Mary. And Jesus was placed in her in birth, but Jesus already existed. If Jesus had a Twitter, it would say joined eternity ago. Because he's always been here. Try to wrap your head around that. Good luck. But I'd rather have a God I can't wrap my head around than a God that I could figure out. Mm. That's lame. That makes your God small. My God is huge because I can't fully figure him out. Mm. And it's going to take me all of eternity just to stare at him and be in awe of him. And so these Sodomites, what they did was they said, we're going to pursue our own desires, our own unnatural desires, and go our own way. You know, there's so many false teachers out there in the homosexuality movement. I don't even know where to begin. But the point is, homosexuality is a sin, period. It's unnatural. It's not the way that God intended life to go on. It's unbiblical. It's a group of people saying, I want to take matters into my own hand, my sexuality into my own hands. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to please my own desires. Now, homosexuality is not any worse than any other sin out there, because every time you sin, you're doing the same exact thing. You're saying, God, I don't care what you want. I want what I want. When all the times I've lied, all the times I've lusted, even heterosexually, every time I have hated someone, every time I've, you know, raised my voice at my kids when I shouldn't have, what I'm saying is, I want to be in charge. Mm-hmm. I want to do what I feel is right in this moment. And that's what everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah were doing as well. The main thing that they were doing that really ticked off God was they wanted to have sex with the angels that came to town to save Lot. Now, we know they looked like men. They're probably, you know, really good men, good looking men, strong, whatever. But they knew that these guys were special. Not only that, in Jewish culture, they were Lot's guest. And so for them to knock at the door demanding to commit sodomy with these guys that are the guests of Lot, one, that's very embarrassing to the host. Two, it's unheard of to act that way. But it's because they had gotten to a point where this was like Vegas on crack. They didn't care about manners. They didn't care about anything else but themselves.
Wow.
And what they wanted to do with their flesh. Now, again, that type of desire, that type of lifestyle for 80 years is disgusting, but really not that bad. But living like that, with that type of mentality for 1 million years. And the thing about sin is, the more you indulge in it, the less satisfying it is, the less you get back. It's a disgusting way to live. And what did God do? He set the place on fire. Again, so this is another picture of hellfire. Some people think hell has fire. Some people think it doesn't. I think, you know, there's too many examples of God talking about fire for him just to be kidding. Why wouldn't he just use other examples? He always uses fire. Maybe just to lodge it into our brains that it's going to be really bad. I think the fire is real. I'd rather err on the side that it's going to be real than just say, yeah, there's no fire. I'd rather err on the side of saying, like, no, I think there's going to be fire. You know, it's a lot scarier that way. And if God made that place, you know, and said that there's a possibility that people could go there for not trusting in him, not believing in him, I'd rather just say, like, hey, there's fire. You know, it's a scary thing. And the good news is we don't have to go there. But this punishment was already laid out for the false teachers. He had already laid it out for them. That's why Jude is bringing back examples all from the Old Testament. All these examples are from the Old Testament. He's saying these guys think they're all cool and smart, and they're teaching away, spitting out false lies. But guess what? They have already been destined for punishment. Peter, Paul, Jesus, they all knew false prophets were going to arise. They all called the shot. They're like, these guys are going to pop up. Because the thing is, the devil has been copying God since day one. He's been copying God since day one. Mm. And so as soon as Jesus came out on the scene and he started preaching, that was his main thing he did, was preaching and teaching. His apostles came out on the scene. They start preaching and teaching. They write the New Testament. By that time, the devil was already planning and plotting to get some of his own teachers, but make them the opposite. And that was false teachers. And so I think the baby might need you. And so they come out on the scene and they are ready to flip the gospel on its side and just thwart the gospel a little bit in order, or not a little bit, a lot of it, in order for people to stop believing and trusting in God, in order for Satan to put them in a situation where they can be destroyed by their own sins. Amazing stuff. So next week, Lucy is awake and I think she needs a diaper change or
They're looking for where the wipes are. If you're listening to the podcast, then you can hear a baby crying in the background. But next week, what we're going to talk about is the character of these guys. Next week, you will be able to really see what these guys are like. You know, so if you want me to answer, is this person a false prophet? Is that person a false prophet? You guys have been asking me that on DMs and comments and stuff. Next week, you're going to be able to decide who is a false prophet and who is not, because we're really going to dive deep into their character. We're going to start to see, okay, what are these guys, how do they act? Because the best indicator of what a person believes is how they live. So we're going to look at that. All right. I love it. Well, let's do this. Let's pray. We'll answer a few questions and then we'll head out of here. Father God, thank you so much that through Jesus, we have a way out of hell. We have a way out of judgment, and you want us to trust you, because you say, you know, that you want your people to trust you and love you, and you're not going to tolerate us trusting and loving in someone else. You are not only our savior, you're our judge, Lord. And we know that we can pass judgment, because when we trust for our authority to be placed under your authority, when we trust in your sacrifice, when we trust in what you've done for us, we know, God, that we are completely forgiven and we're completely free to love you and to walk with you every day, Lord. And so for anyone here who doesn't know you, we pray that they would put their trust in you, God, and that they would know that that you're the only way and there's no other way, Lord. And in your name we pray, amen. Amen, guys. Everyone's talking about the new mic. All of our podcast listeners on YouTube, everyone's saying, I love the new mic. I love the new mic.
We love it too. Thank you guys so much. You made it possible. Well, what?
Well, go ahead.
You were going to say something.
No, it's really cute. I know the podcast people can't hear it, but or see it. It's a really cute little petite mic. We love it. We love cute things in our house because we have 4 cute children.
Yes.
What else were you going to say?
I don't know.
Okay. Love it, guys. Well, I hope you guys have a good week. And mm-hmm. if you have any questions, we'll do a couple. Andrew, yeah. We love your profile picture with the Amen logo on there. Amen merch will be back really soon. Once Amen Alex gets to 100,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel, we're going to start back the merch again. Can you explain what exactly is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's mm-hmm. a man. And he's just as much of a man as Jesus is, as God is, God the Father. He's 100% God, and he doesn't have a body. He's a spirit, and he's the power of God. He's our helper, you know, but he's just as much God as Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches a Trinity. No, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the Bible teaches a Trinitarian God. It's God in 3 persons, 3 in 1. That's what we believe. You know, it's not God in 3 different modes. Like today I'm in Holy Spirit mode. Today I'm in Jesus mode. That's not how that's how robots work. God doesn't work that way. Again, it's a hard thing to wrap your mind around, but we don't believe in 3 gods. We believe in 1 God. And 3 persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, lives inside of us. When Jesus went to heaven, his Holy Spirit came to live inside of us, the Christians inside the church, and they are what, and he is what empowers us to do the things that you see we do. All the people who are astonished by our ministry and grateful for our ministry and just blown away by our ministry, it was all the Holy Spirit. It's all him working through us. We can't take credit for any of it. This is how he made us. You know, he gave me the ability to teach. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Amen.
Excellent question, though. How do you feel about vaccines? Oh. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that you have a video on that on your personal channel. Amen, Alex, Mark of the Beast.
Should I put you on the spot and ask what you think about vaccines?
No, I don't want to talk about vaccines right now.
She's like, she's not a political type person. Honestly, One thing I can say about the vaccine, I know people think about both sides of it. I just want to say this. We are going to die anyway. There's a lot of corruption out there. There's a lot of messed up stuff out there. There's a lot of companies that we cannot trust. Also, we're also going to die.
Yes.
You know, we don't really have a right to talk about it because we live in Hawaii and there's not a lot of contact with like strangers here. And so, but if you live in a heavily populated situation, just pray about it. Talk to God about it. But I'll also say that the vaccine is not the mark of the beast.
Yes.
If you think that the vaccine is the mark of the beast, you don't know what the mark of the beast is. If you think, you know, the mark of the beast is 666, you don't know what the mark of the beast is. It's deeper than that. It's more than that. So go over to Eamon Alex YouTube channel and type in Mark of the Beast vaccine. And I have a video on that.
It's very helpful. Yes.
I filmed it next to a waterfall. So you can hear the waterfall behind me. Can we donate in Europe as well? Yes. Just go to amenchurch.live. The link is in the description of this video. Amenchurch.live. Pulvio coming in late. It's okay, man. We're going to repost it. Whoops, that's the wrong button. There we go. Yeah, there's the website on the screen there. And is the rapture going to happen? Yes, it's going to happen. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. Is our God a God of wrath too?
There we go.
God is holy. And so because he's holy, he has wrath towards sin. Think of it this way. If my wife cheated, should I tolerate that or no? Should I get mad at that or not? Of course I should get mad because she didn't cheat. But if she did, of course I should get mad because it's my wife and what we have is holy. Because God is holy, he should of course get mad at sin because he's holy. And so because he's holy, he has wrath towards sin. Jesus on the cross took that wrath for God's people, for the church. He died for them and took that wrath so that God's wrath on sin wasn't placed on us.
Mm.
Awesome.
Someone said, what Bible translation do you guys read? We usually do CSB. This week we're in ESV. If you're just starting to read the Bible for the first time, we like to still recommend those versions. And then kind of like if you have the Bible app, you can go to NLT and kind of just get a better understanding. Maybe if you're confused on some stuff, but I think reading both is good and helpful. You want to do like one more question or
Someone said, Hannah said that the Mark of the Beast vaccine video was the very first video she watched.
Oh, wow.
And she said it was really good and explained well. So that's not out of my own mouth. That's out of Hannah's mouth. It took me.
We did a lot of takes.
hours to film that video. We did it in one take, like no cuts, no jump cuts, and it was extremely hard to do. So
yeah,
go like that video because it was hard. All of our videos because all of our videos take a lot of time to make.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time, as he does with all his videos, researching the word, praying about it, and then filming it sometimes multiple times.
Yeah.
Way more than we'd like to.
No, yeah, totally.
But it's because we want to put the right and biblical, we want to answer your questions most biblically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. NIV is a good Bible translation. I know we're doing more than one question, but go type in Bible Project translations. They explain the difference between all translations. NIV is really good. It's about right in the middle. You basically have thought for thought translations and word for word translations. Never mind. Don't go watch the video. I'm just going to explain it real quick. Word for word is like NASB or King James Version, where it's like word for word translations. Mm-hmm. And then like NLT, NIV are closer to the thought for thought. So they take the thought of the verse and they translate that. And so it's not as completely expositionally, exegetically, you know, biblically accurate, but it gives you the thought so that you can use that to grow in your walk with God. And that thought is still inspired as well, because it's the Bible. Mm. So just choose what you want to do. We do like right in the middle, closer to word for word, which is ESV and CSB. But yeah, we love you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Actually, next Wednesday. We're going to move Bible study to Wednesday. So if you're still watching,
get the word out, share everyone that we're moving to Wednesday. If you have actual Bible study at your own church during that time, I'm sorry. Just with our family schedule, we have to move over to Wednesday. But we'll be back with the next couple verses of Jude, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can always catch the podcast or the rewatch. Those are just two great resources if you can't make it live. But as always, we love being here with you live, and we're just so blessed by this community. So thank you so much for your support and for your questions and your encouragement. We love you guys so much.
Awesome. Love you guys. Go out and be the church.
Amen.